Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Surely our God reigns with power and majesty, dominion and authority. My God reigns. I'm so thankful just to be on the line to call this today. This is the Prospering Soul, and we are on a line talking, and we're going to be talking about sanctification today. We're continuing on our foundational teaching series, and we're just going to continue on that in that vein until the Lord tells us something different. But we're just excited to be able to know the Word of God, to hear the Word of God. The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we hope that this broadcast will bless somebody to be able to have a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be able to stand. And when they've done all to stand, they'll be able to stand therefore just because of the Word of God that has been planted in them. We pray today that the Word will fall on good ground and that it will accomplish all that it is set out to do. So thankful to be on the line this morning. We got two beautiful, beautiful spirits of the Lord, blessings from God, daughters of God that will be bringing the Word today and teaching on this subject. And I'm just so thankful and excited. I'm always excited about everybody's input and everybody participating, because I don't take it for granted. I thank God for just being a blessing and being a help on this broadcast, because without them, I couldn't be able to do it. I would try, but it's so much better with a team of people that are being a blessing to others. And I just thank the Lord for this opportunity just for them to be able to sow into the people of God. I pray that everybody that needs this broadcast will be able to hear it. If they're not even on the line now, that they will hear it in the archives. So we thank you for all of those that are calling in, all of those that will be logging in, and for all of those that will listen later. This is the Prospering Soul. And so we thank God for that. I'm going to ask Minister Henry Creighton if he would lead us out in prayer.
Yeah, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. Father, we pray that you will use our voices to impact our fellow believers, backsliders, non-believers. Dear God, we thank you for this show. We thank you for all the participants, dear God, and all the speakers. I pray that you will impart wisdom and knowledge into them, that they will be able to give out and help somebody else. Lord, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we're just so thankful. Amen. And I would like to, I thank Elder Russell for being on the line, and I think Elder Timberlake is on the line. I thank God for both of them, and, of course, Elder Minister Creighton, I thank you for being on the line. And we're just going to move right on into it. When we think about sanctification and all that it is, it's a beautiful topic as well, and I'm just excited to hear about it today and to be able to be learning from this experience. And I'm just going to give it right on over to Elder Russell and to Elder Timberlake. I know that they have, you know, worked out which way, who's going to do what and that. So, but I'm going to give it into their hands to be able to teach. And so we thank God for both of them. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Greetings to all. Today, this evening, I want to thank Elder Denise Bryson for asking me to speak, and Elder Timberlake, we appreciate that so much. It's great to be able to share the word. I also would like to say how much I've enjoyed all the speakers that we've had and how it has added to my sanctification journey. If I had some things I had put in place,
thank you, Lord.
It is so good to come together to share the Word of God.
Yes.
It is. And especially a small group, it's just something about it. But anyway,
yes.
As I pondered through the scriptures, there were so many scriptures relating to sanctification, because I guess that's what it's all about, sanctification. So I really have more than one. If you bear with me, I'd like to read those to you. And the first one is Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We know we have to stay in the Spirit, or we're going to be in trouble. Amen. And Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. That's a beautiful scripture to me. It lets me know, as I travel this road of tribulation and trials, that if I stay on course, that I scrape, that there is a glory that shall be revealed to me. A glory that shall be revealed to me that's not here on this earth. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3. But this is the will of God, your sanctification, my sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. In these days, we have a lot going on. So those are my three scriptures. And there's many more, but I use those three. Today we're going to do just a general overview of sanctification. There is quite a bit to cover.
Yes.
Without holiness, no man shall see God, right?
Right.
To sanctify something is to set it apart for special use. To sanctify a person is to make him holy, and this is a continuing process. It's a process that does not end. It's a process that's going to take us to eternity. It's a process that we have to stay on course. We got to be careful about looking to the left and looking to the right, because the enemy has a trap for each one of us. If we want to make our destiny, we got to stay focused.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The only use, God's purpose for us is to be pure and to glorify Him. You know, just to glorify Him. We don't have to give no money. We don't got to feed it, buy him no clothes. We just have to glorify Him. We just got to say, God, we love you. He just wants a set of time, a little time, to show him how we appreciate that he loved us so much that he said, I send my son down here. I want to help my people because I care for them. He sent his only son, Jesus. And you know he loved us. He wanted us set apart for his glory. He wanted us to be sanctified.
Yes.
He sent us an example. Amen. Let me show you just some examples of being set apart. I think that we really need to look at that being set apart. If you think about the Old Testament temple vessels, they were used by the priests back then. They were to be used for holy purpose only, to be pure and to glorify God. No one was to touch those vessels, but the priests, they were set aside for God. And who are we? He wants us to be his vessels, to be set aside for God to use for his glory. Amen. You know, you think about set aside. There's so many ways you can look at set aside. My mother loved to can, and she loved to garden. And every year, she would plant vegetables on top of vegetables. She would set those aside that in the winter months, when it was cold, she would feed her family. They were set aside for a certain time to make us healthy, to make us grow, to make us not liking for anything, any food, any nourishment. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to set aside that he can feed into our spirit his word, his love, how to endure during the time that we're going through right now. You know, I thought about Jesus. When he did his first miracle and turned water to wine. I'm not sure if it was set apart, but when they tasted the wine, Jesus turned the water to wine. When they tasted the water, the bridegroom said, they saved the last for best. We might be last making it, but we're going to be best. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And you know, just talking about setting aside a mother, a young mother that gets married and has a beautiful wedding dress. So beautiful that she said, I'm going to save this dress for my daughter. She cleans that dress. She puts that dress up. She watches that dress and looks at that dress and makes sure nothing gets on it. She preserves that dress, makes sure no holes are in it. Maybe 20, 25 years, but she set that dress apart for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Just like
Amen.
God set us apart, that we can be a beautiful bride. Amen.
Amen.
Can you think of anything that possibly that has been set aside for you that has been a blessing? Can anyone think of something that's been set aside in your life that has been a blessing?
I just think, you know, even just how your parents, you know, set things aside for you, how they set, you know, when you're young, they set up, you know, money for you, or they set up, you know, different things for you, and your mother saves, you know, certain things for you to have, you know, like you said, on your wedding day, they set aside these things, and so that they can be, they're set aside just for that purpose, for they do it for your life, and even, you know, just, and so that's how God does for us when he sanctifies us.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, even when you think about a funeral, how you prepare for the end of your life, You got to set that aside. You got to set that money aside and put it away for your loved one. Proper burial. So I want you to understand in the natural and the spiritual how important set aside is. Even now, I think there are some things I need to set aside. Praise the Lord. And I want to give some examples before I do this. Elder Timberlake, is there anything you need that you want to add to that?
I just wanted to add to the about sanctification, bringing it in from justification that we were talking about before, how justification is to determine God justifies us and declares us righteous. And because he has declared us righteous, it is now our part to sanctify ourselves. He has set us apart. But we have to live out that process on a daily basis. Once we accept Christ in our lives, we've got to, first of all, we need to get an understanding of the word, to have a true understanding of the word so we can work out this sanctification on a daily basis. Because it takes the word. It takes the word, the knowledge of the word, to help us to grow and to mature on this daily process of sanctifying ourselves on a daily basis, because it is a process. And if we don't have a good understanding of the word, we're stuck. We're like little babies, little sucklings, and we're not growing. And we're supposed to grow. He has justified us and set us aside for a specific reason. Each one of us, all of us have this purpose and destiny. And all of us have something unique to each other that we are purposed to do. We've been placed on this planet for us to specifically to do. Now we've got to seek out for that. Study his word, get knowledge of his word, spend some time with him, because sanctification not only means set apart, it also means we got to consecrate. So we got to spend some time with the Lord so we can overcome our flesh, because it is a daily battle. And in the spirit, we are what's wonderful, but to keep that spirit man up, we got to feed it. We got to feed it with the word. So, and the understanding of the word gives us the knowledge that we need to help us to grow. And then once we have that, that sanctification brings on conviction. We are convicted because we want to do what God is asking us to do. We have the desire to do, just like on the road to the Damascus that you mentioned, I think, before we got on the phone. That Paul being on the road to Damascus, he was adamant about what he was advocating when he was going to crucify the Christians and to the believers. But when he had an encounter with God, he was just as adamant about serving God and doing the will of God. And that's the way we have to do, take on that type of attitude towards God, have that affection towards God to seek after him.
So that's all I
want
to say for right now. Go ahead,
Elder Russell. Okay, when you were talking about the word, I just wanted to, in Matthew 7:7-8, he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So we just need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to add a little bit on Paul. When I was reading Paul, and I was thinking about sanctification, you know, he was so adamant about crucifying the Christians, put him in jail, kill him, or whatever he could do. That was his thing. But one day, on the way to Damascus, a light shone from heaven and said, spoke to Paul, said, "Why do you persecute me?" And right then, those words he said, my understanding just hit the inner man, the Holy Spirit, as our bishop is speaking today, he just went directly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do?" And from that time on, which he was struck blind at that time, he stayed on course. It was a hard, difficult journey. He was in prison. He was beaten. He was taken from Jerusalem for 8 years, and they just didn't want to be bothered with him. But he stayed on course. He was shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much happened to Paul. He was in Roman prison so long, they beat him so bad that when he was taken from there into the doctors, when they examined him, they wondered, how did he live? He had ribs broken, fractures. His lungs had TB. How did he live? But by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, yes.
I just wanted, listening to you, just let me know, it just shows the commitment that it takes. Sanctification requires commitment.
Yes.
You sanctify yourself daily by how we're committed to Christ and the cause and the purpose that he's put upon us, assigned us to. Paul had an assignment, and he was committed to fulfilling it, regardless of whatever he had to face. He was committed to it. And that's what we have to do today. We've got to be committed to God. Though, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to trust him in the good times, the hard times, the bad times, with a job, without a job, in sickness and in health. Trust God, because as we trust him, we're growing. But as we get more of the word, it helps us grow. And back to that, we got to grow. And that's how we improve in our sanctification. And as we learn the word, we develop a relationship with God, which causes us to fall in love with him and love him even more, because he already loves us.
Yeah.
He's already shown his love by sending his son to redeem us. He's shown his love by giving us grace on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. And we need to show back to him how much we are so grateful and how we love him by the way we sanctify ourselves, because we are designers originally. And so we have a special assignment that we got to carry out, and we need to be doing our Father's business. And that's what we are set apart to do that. Sometimes we can't hang with everybody because we've been set apart to do some unique things for God. Sometimes we have to go through things when we've been set apart, just like Paul is the example that you give.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to just give you this scripture in Colossians 1:21-22. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And also, I would like to mention, you know, Peter was a little bit different from Paul. He was a little rebellious, kind of wanted to do his own thing. And even when he cut off the soldier's ear when he was getting ready to go be, when they were taking Jesus to be crucified. And before then, Jesus told Peter that he would deny him three times. When the rooster croaked three times, he would have denied him three times. And at the time, I'm sure he didn't think that he would, for he loved Jesus, and Jesus also loved him. But he did. But he started off a little rough, a little different. Paul instantly went right into that. But he had to work through it. But eventually, he worked his way through that. After the day of Pentecost, he was the first one to preach that first sermon. He drew many, I think it was 3,000, to Christ. So what I'm saying is that we all don't walk this road the same way. We all don't complete our destiny at the same time. I believe some of us fall by the wayside. But we know God is there to pick us up, to keep us going if that's our desire. But he was so adamant about his love for Christ at the end. He said, don't even hang me like you did Christ. He was a mortal. He said, hang me upside down because I don't deserve to die like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we walk, we grow. If we stand his word, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship. We grow. Our sanctification is the will of God. We must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We must be changed, constructed again, and we must place our trust in Christ to save us and have faith in the Savior. If our trust and faith is in ourselves, we won't succeed. We may try, we won't succeed. We may fail, we may try again, but we won't succeed. We have to have Christ, because we will fail miserably. How does this happen? 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You can only do it by the Holy Spirit. We got to have the Holy Spirit on this walk. It is not something we're going to do by superhuman effort, but again, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We were justified and have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ once and for all. If we look at Joseph, who was put in prison for no apparent reason, you know how his brothers did him and took him and sold him. And there he was in prison, cutting the little thing a little short. They put him over the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was the head guard, and he had a wife there who took a liking to Joseph. And she wanted to have a relationship with him, but he did not want to. And, you know, in those days, those men had beautiful, beautiful wives. So, you know, it took a little something for him to just turn away. He, you know, in his mind, he said, I don't want to respect my God. His God meant more than a lust of his eye, more than just a relationship, more than committing adultery. So he ran from this woman. And when he ran, he left his cloak, and therefore he was blamed for this action. But later on, he was cleared from it. But I'm saying, sometimes we may take the blame for the situation, but if we just keep trusting God, God can make a way for us to be clear.
Yes.
And he became a great leader and helped his people that were, when they were having a famine, come there and get food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to say on that, Elder Timberlake?
For me, that's an example of one of the steps of sanctification, which would be under conviction. He has, which represents us having a transformation of our mind, our heart.
Yes.
Once you grow in God and you've been through some stuff, you've been through enough stuff and you got a little wisdom, you begin to grow like Joseph did. He was able to show love to those who had done him wrong. Instead of, he could have gone another direction in the flesh. But having the faith in God and the willingness to obey, that's all of that entails sanctification. You got to want to obey God. You got to trust God. You got to have faith in God, faith that he knows what's best for you. And because he loves you and because you believe he loves you, it makes it easier. It gives you what you need in order to fulfill God's purpose. There was a purpose for Joseph being in, for the whole thing that he went through from the beginning when he was 13, 17, until all those years, the 13 years or more or so that he didn't see his family. All of that was put in position to help the children of Israel, to get them in position to do, because he had already prophesied all that to Abraham many years beforehand. And so it was God's word coming forth. Now, we have it on this side. Joseph didn't have that, but on this side, we have it written for us. So we can see it coming to pass. And as we see God manifesting himself and showing himself strong in the word and working on the patriarch's behalf in the olden days, it should help us today to continue to identify ourselves on a daily basis. We want to have an encounter with God so we can show forth God's love to others, especially those that have done us wrong. And it, that shows us how we're set apart. And that's how the world will know us, because we're set apart and we're showing love. They see that love that we have for one another. Sometimes even in the church, we hurt one another. They were in the family. They were his. Those were his brothers. They hurt him. We get hurt in our church family. We get hurt in our natural family. But because we love God, we put God's interest above ours.
Yes.
That helps us continually to sanctify ourselves as God continues to make us whole and keep us on that path.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Is there anyone there that would like to make a comment?
Well, this is Minister Clayton. I think the teaching is going well. You know, not thinking about sanctification, you have the definition of stars being set apart. But one of the interesting things about it is that we can see that in Genesis chapter 1 and 26, after God created everything, and then he said, let us make man in our own image. So that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over all the creatures. So we can see that there is something interesting here with all of creation, that the only thing that was set apart for a very specific purpose for which God created the earth was moon. So definitely when we talk about set apart, we can see that although that word is not used and we cannot take it and put it in here, but we can clearly see that, you know, they were set apart. And we later on see that in Genesis chapter 2.
Sister Trash, hear me.
Say that again.
I'm listening.
Okay. Now we can definitely see again chapter 2 and 15 where he said that let us place, the Bible said the Lord took man, placed him in the garden or in the orchard in the garden to care, to maintain it. The Lord God commanded man, you may freely eat from every tree of the orchard, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge and of good and of evil. You eat from it, you will surely die. So we see this transition happening as we talk about sanctification. So we see that God, who created man for a certain purpose, is now bringing in some rules to govern man, that there were certain things they were supposed to do and not do. Now we know God, if he's God, he doesn't die. And if God is, man is in God's image, then man shouldn't be dying, although we know that to be more than just physical death. But he's also talking about spiritual death, because after that, something happened, and man became naked. And then that brought death you know, to mankind. And so we can clearly see, we talk about sanctification, you talk about righteousness and holiness. We can see the what can happen when we don't sanctify ourselves wholly to God. And then we also see something again that's very interesting in Exodus chapter 17, with God and Moses. When God told Moses that he should walk before him and be holy, you know what I mean? And we can see right there, if he said walk, actually the word he used was perfect. You know, walk before me and be ye perfect. Now, we know that particular word is also similar noun to sanctification. You know what I mean? So
yes.
Definitely walk before me and be holy, righteous. Then he's talking about his character. He should do things God's way. Now, we clearly see now sanctification taking shape. You know what I mean? And then now we see something again very interesting in the same Exodus. And that would be Exodus chapter 19. And in Exodus chapter 19 and 10, then it said, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and make them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And we see this is very interesting because we see the word clearly now, sanctify. But then the interesting thing, we see washing. In other words, that means they are cleansing themselves.
Yes.
And we see this take greater shape in that they were not supposed to eat certain things. They were not supposed to touch certain things and so on and so forth because they were considered righteous people and holy people. So one of the things I see about sanctification is not just the issue of rules, but it's the issue of God telling us who we are and how much he esteems us. You know, so that means God is pure and God is holy, we are. If God said we shouldn't eat certain things, we were not to eat certain things and touch certain things, it would not be the issue of rules, just rules, but it would be the issue of how much they were esteemed. They were so valuable that they were not supposed to touch common things. You know what I mean? So I think about this, we are so valuable to God that God doesn't want us to touch common things. You know what I mean?
Just like he did the tabernacle when they set up for the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle with the inner and the outer courts and the most holies. All of that, he gave specific instructions on what had to be where, how many candles had to be where, and it had to sit on a certain table in a certain area. All those kind of things he did when he gave the tabernacle. And so, therefore, once again, he was setting apart. He set apart what he told Moses. You know, he had to tell Aaron and his sons to go wash their feet, wash their hands. They had to do certain things a certain way. He's always set apart because when he sets you apart, it's for a specific purpose. He just don't set us apart just to say we are separate. He has things for us to do. We have an assignment. And he wants us. Yeah, and our obedience unto God is that fragrance that we give unto him. Our obedience to him shows him we love us. And that's how we show our sanctification unto him, because we'll consecrate ourselves in our obedience because we trust him. And that's what Moses did. Whatever he told him to do, that's what he was doing when they did the tabernacle and when they gave their sacrifices in the Old Testament of the best calf or the best animal that they will give their sacrifice, which is similar, which is a type and shadow of what we are today. We are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's just our reasonable service. So we have to on a daily basis. I mean, it's a constant because flesh wants to come alive. It wants to, but if we would keep that connection with the Word and keep that relationship with God, it will keep flesh under control. Flesh comes up because we fail in our sanctification of ourselves. In that process, we get a little lax. We can't afford to get lax. We just can't afford, especially nowadays in this season, we see the descriptions being fulfilled. This is not the time to get lax. This is the time to take hold to the altar and hold on to it and stand. Until we see some change and some transformation of heart until we see some reconciliation, until we see some redemptive people being reclaimed unto God, until we see the miraculous power of God being manifested in the and Jehovah. All praise to Jehovah Jireh. All praise to God our Savior. All praise unto Him. Do we see that? We got to keep going until Jesus gets back. So He come back to take us home. We got to keep this process on a daily basis. The sanctification is awesome because it lets you know that it's an awakening that we can't get lax. We can't go to sleep. We can't get worn. We got to keep on pressing on the upward way. We got to keep going as they did, like in the Old Testament. You remember the clouds when it sat on it? When the presence of the Lord was there, they couldn't do nothing until it moved. So that's what we need to do. We need to get in the presence of the Lord and stare until we get some clear directions on what we're supposed to do next. Then we'll be walking in obedience and we'll be able to bring forth after our own kind and lead others to the Lord, and then we'll see the sanctification of our lives. We're seeing it being coming to fruition, and we're seeing it replicated in others.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hello?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Anybody have Go ahead, Elder Russell. Elder Timberlake.
Elder Bryce, this is Anthony, just want to interject. Sorry that I'm late. But another thing I wanted to point out when you guys were talking about the tabernacle in the Old Testament and being sanctified and how God told Moses to take Aaron and his sons and sanctify them, we have to understand that it wasn't just for them. I think you already touched on this, but it was because they had to represent the people before God.
Right, right.
So it wasn't just that I'm going to be sanctified for me, save my soul, but they had to do that because they were representing the people before God. And remember Aaron's son, what they did incorrectly, offering up strange fire to God, and they died.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So as ministers and elders, a part of us being sanctified or how God sets us apart is to represent the people of God. God chose the nation of Israel to be his people because he wanted to establish a difference for everybody else to see.
Amen.
Okay.
If I can read one more thing concerning sanctification, and the reason I'm going back to the Old Testament, you know, for those that are listening, or why are you going back to the Old Testament in the New? Well, don't forget that Jesus taught from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And many of his references came from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
In Genesis 17:1, God, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the sovereign God. Walk before me and be blameless. Then I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will give you a multitude of descendants. So that means there's a condition. Even in the New Testament era, Jesus, when he was teaching about the demon leaving and it coming back, because you were giving an example of what Satan does and how he works, when he leaves and the person is delivered and the demon leaves, the demon goes around, come back, see the house all clean, because there is nothing there. So in other words, Jesus is teaching some principle: when you suffer, you're supposed to occupy your life in such a way that the enemy doesn't have an advantage over you so that God can work for you better. So even with us in the age of grace, there's a condition. And we think that there is no condition. No, there is. You know, he told the apostles that they should be different from the scribe and the Pharisee if they're going to inherit the kingdom of God in the book of Matthew. So if we are going to experience the blessing of God and walk fully in our sanctification, then we got to conduct ourselves that way. Elder Anthony was saying the ministers, the priests represented the people before God. Where if they are going to represent the people before God and then see the fruit of the work as they represented the people, then they have to conduct themselves a certain way. You know what I mean? And we all need to know that nobody is judging anybody. We're not called to judge people. But at the same time, we must challenge ourselves and realize what our sanctification is all about so we can experience the full benefit in Christ.
Yes, to go along with that, Numbers 20:12 says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, if ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them." So, Uncle, what Elder Anthony was saying, because we're not just sanctified for ourselves, we are sanctified for the cause of God, for God's will. And there are consequences for not fulfilling it, because Moses was God's chosen, and still there was consequences because he did not follow through, trust God. It comes with obedience, so he could show God's power through the to the people. Instead, he did something else. God did respond, but there was a consequence to Moses because he didn't obey God's word. So we have to realize we're not just saved to be saved. And he didn't call us just for ourselves. We are designers, original, designed for a special reason. Just like when a manufacturer creates a car, or when they created internet, or when they created something new, it has benefits. It has use. It has purpose. Yes. And so do we, and we must realize that. We can't afford to let the enemy to come in, sniff out what God has put in us so we can give out to the world, so we can be beneficial for the kingdom's sake.
Yeah.
It's all about the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Elder Russell.
No, I was just saying, you know, I see some good word going forth.
Yes.
Good word going forth for the glory of God, and good examples of staying focused on, you know, what God has called us to do and to be. And, you know, the word is the same yesterday and evermore, so we can continue to apply that word to our lives, you know, even in the Old Testament regarding the tabernacle, you know. Some things are just set apart. And we don't have a tabernacle, but we are similar to the tabernacle. We need to be set apart as vessels for God, that he can fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, so we can be directed in what he'd have us do.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're sanctified because we're set apart for a religious use, for the purpose of religious use, and then we're also set apart, we're separated from the world in order for God to use us. And so those are the things that causes us to be sanctified, or those are the things that we are sanctified for. And so this is such a beautiful lesson. I've been really enjoying everything that has been said, and I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. We're going to continue on this topic. We're going to be on it for about the next 2 or 3 weeks, just covering it because we want to really try to exhaust it in every way, and so they're going to be continuing to teach on it. And of course, we'll all jump in and give something to say. But I do have a couple of questions. I have a couple of questions because I think these are important. And I'm going to be doing these questions throughout the whole teaching. But one of my questions is sanctification progressive or instantaneous?
Say that again.
Is sanctification progressive or instantaneous?
Progressive.
No, you said justification. I'm sorry. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Is sanctification progressive or instantaneous?
Progressive.
Yeah. I think there's a progressive work, but then I think it can also be
Paul, it was instant with Paul, but then it was also progressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was instantaneous. I was going to say it was instantaneous. It can be instantaneous because with sanctification, which begins when we are saved, so therefore it's kind of instantaneous. But then as we go through our Christian walk, it becomes progressive because we continue to be set apart, and we begin to really understand what that means and to be separated from the world. So we continue on our daily walk, just like Paul said, he said, I die daily, that we continue to shed off the works of the world.
Yeah. I think justification is more continuous. I mean, can't get the word out.
Yeah, instantaneous. It's done. It's what Christ has done for us. Yes.
Yeah, it's instantaneous. I can't speak it right now. Yeah.
Well, you can reference. You can also reference about it being progressive. You can reference the stories in Genesis, not Exodus, I believe, and even with Paul. They accepted that they were, God chose them as priests, but they had to go through the process to learn way God intended for them to represent the people in his presence. So, you get an instantaneous, awakening, if you want to call it, but you still have to go and be taught the right way. Does that make sense?
Yes, because the sanctified that is the set apart for God's purpose. That's just like the priests. They had their assignment. Yes, they had to go through the process like we do. So we get God sanctifies us for His purpose, but we've got to walk through the process.
Yes.
Right.
That's good.
I guess
go ahead.
I was saying, I guess it depends on our relationship with God, how fast we actually go through justification. I'm talking about sanctification.
Yes.
That's just a problem,
So then is sanctification required or optional?
It's not
optional. I don't believe it's optional.
If you want to grow, you can't grow in Christ, and you can't be effective in Christ without being sanctified on a progressive path.
Right.
Yes. It is the will of God that we be sanctified. So it is a requirement. It's absolute a requirement. It's nothing that we can choose to say, I'm going to be sanctified or not. Because if we think about 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it said it is the reason Jesus died. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. So we have to understand that it is a requirement. It is not nothing that is not optional. You can't say, well, I don't want to be set apart. No, you have to be set apart if you're going to be in Christ.
It's not just set apart. You got to be consecrated. If you want to be in Christ, if you want to be effective in ministry, if you want to be effective to do God's will, you've got to set aside some time to consecrate, to crucify the flesh, because flesh is just having a heyday. So to keep it under control, you've got to consecrate. It's a quality time with God, seeking His face, seeking His will for your life and whatever He wants you to do so you can make your imprint in this earth while you're here.
Right.
Yeah, we even saw Christ in the book. We go and see that a lot in the book of Mark. Jesus always took time to go and pray. We would see that a lot, in the book of Mark. Christ always took the step away himself and went and spent time with the Father. So we definitely need that. I mean, periodically we need to have a certain time of the day where we just set aside time to talk to God or hear from God, because it is very important.
That's what sanctification is. It is not a feeling. I mean, you might not feel sanctified. It's not a feeling. It's a state of being. That's what it is, what you must require to do. So it's not a feeling. You might not feel it.
All right.
Feel like you're in the will of God. You might not feel it. But
right.
You know that you have. If you're doing what the Word is saying to do, if you are setting aside, studying God's Word, seeking His interpretation, His wisdom, His leading, His guidance, it's not about how you feel. And the enemy wants to trick us feelings because we don't feel like it today. We don't feel like we're pleasing God. The enemy want to distract us. But we got to go by what we know. What we know is what the word says. It means we're growing. And as we sanctify and set ourselves apart from the noise of the world, that we can hear clearly what the Spirit is saying unto us so we can walk in that path.
Yes, Lord. Love it.
Yes. Because that is why sanctification is needed. We have to put off the old man.
Yes.
We have to. We must be constantly taking off the old man, remove the old man, the nature, removing the principle of lust and destroying its power or control of our flesh. We have to do that. That's something that's consistent. That's why Colossians 3:5 and 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which we also walk sometime. It says, that ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. So it's a constant thing that we're steadily putting off the old man and its nature, so that we can begin to take on the things that are Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. We can't take on the fruit of the Spirit because we need to first cast off these things. And so we have to continue to mortify that flesh on a daily basis.
Yes.
Know, there was something you said, Elder. You talked about whether sanctification is, what you said, whether it's instantaneous or it's progressive. Now, it's both. Because when Christ died right away, once you accept Jesus, you are sanctified. Now it becomes this ongoing process. There was something that Paul said, although he himself was saved, but there was something that he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, but I discipline my body, concerning what the elder was saying earlier, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Least when I have pushed to others, I myself should become disqualified.
Yes.
This is the Apostle Paul, called to preach. But he said, though I have the gift to preach, but if I don't live a sanctified life daily, I'm going to be disqualified in the end. And the elder said that we can't just, it's not about feeling. You have to do it. If you want to live an effective Christian life, an effective sanctified life, you have to, take that time to pray and fast and sharpen yourself in the spirit so that you can live in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Yeah.
And, Elder Bryson, we talk so much about unforgiveness. If we sanctify ourselves the way the word is telling us to do, we would overcome unforgiveness.
Yes. That's important.
Yeah. Elder Russell, you got something else you want to say on that?
Oh, okay. Listening at the elder speak on, he was saying sanctification and justification, both were, you said instantaneous, what you sound that? I'm sorry.
Instantaneous or progressive.
Okay.
Sanctification,
just sanctification. Okay. He was saying they were both,
sanctification
is both.
It is
instant and progressive.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was debating on. Well, anyway, I guess it's getting close to our time, right?
Yeah, we're getting close to time. I know it goes so quickly. It really does.
I just want to say something about Paul, because, it's just amazing that he went through so much, and yet he stood his ground for God. And, I have enjoy what I've read on sanctification, because it's really brought a lot of things to my mind, of the things that I need to shape up in and improve my walk in some areas. And I thank God for that. That's what the word is for.
Yes.
So the lesson has been a blessing to me to study it. But I just want to say this about Paul. He says, "Now, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the price of the higher call of God in Christ. For God in Christ, he had a goal, and he pressed on and took hold, forgetting about the past and straying toward it. Those are all the things he did, as Joseph also did, and to a certain extent. You don't fall into sanctification. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and you participate with him in the process." If I had to add just a little bit of an ending to that, I would just say sanctification takes a lifetime. It's an ongoing process. We will never be completely perfect until the day of the Lord, till the Lord returns.
Yes.
We must resist sin, press on, take hold, have a goal, strain toward, and by no means, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for the Word on today and just on sanctification and continuing our foundational series so that we can help. There's so many people that ask us all the time, you know, okay, I've given my life to the Lord, and so now what's my next? And so that's what we're endeavoring to do, is just to help people along in the foundational part of being saved and you know, knowing what salvation is, knowing what forgiveness is, and knowing what justification is and sanctification. We're going to continue on with our other topics that are in this particular series. But I thank the Lord for both Elder Timberlake and Elder Russell today bringing forth such a mighty word. And we thank the Lord for Minister Henry and Elder Poston for their comments and jumping in. And we just thank God for all of those that are listening in. We have people listening in. We've been getting at least people that are listening in and calling in. And I think I have another guest on the phone. And she's a lady that's dear to my heart. I've been knowing her for years. She's from St. Louis, but she now is a member of the Potter's House. Her and her husband were over the young people's department when we were coming up in the First Free Will Baptist Church. And she's just a mighty woman of God. And I thank the Brother Shirley Russell. His pastor, Shirley Russell. I mean, Shirley Owens being on the phone. And I thank God for her being on the phone today. And I thank the Lord for her. And I'm excited to have her join us today. But I'm going to ask Elder Timberlake if she would do the call for salvation. You know, if anybody wants to be saved, we want to ever want to leave the broadcast without extending that opportunity. And of course, if someone does want to be saved, we always encourage you to find your Bible in church, teaching church for you to attend. But Elder Timberlake, will you do that for us today?
Okay. For those of you that are listening and you've heard us talk about being sanctified, well, the first step to get to sanctification is repentance. And the first step to repentance is acknowledging the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior and realizing that you need him. So if somebody that's listening today, you've tried everything else and it didn't work, friends might have forsaken you, your family walked away, the things you trusted in, you might have lost, but I recommend Jesus because he'll never fail you. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you unto the ends of the earth." So if you open your hearts tonight, his arms are stretched wide to receive you. So if you believe that he has risen from the dead and that he died for you, the word says, if you believe in your heart that he died and rose from the dead for you, that you shall be saved. And so we ask you today to accept the Lord in your heart today, for he is ready, willing, and able to receive you. He loves you. You've already been accepted in the beloved. He says you're special. He says he'll sanctify you completely. So let God do a work in you. For you are designer original, and he has placed you on this planet for purpose. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Welcome to the family, because he has accepted you, he loves you, and he already says, you're mine. So
amen.
Welcome to the family today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And if you receive Christ, we admonish you. Find you a good Bible believing teaching church that you can continue to grow. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the way for you to grow in Christ is through reading the word of God and studying the word of God and being taught the word of God. And, of course, in prayer and beginning to develop a prayer life and just continue to seek God for his will for your life, and that you will know exactly what it is God will have for you to do. So we thank everybody for being a part today. I'm going to ask Elder Poston if he would pray us out, and then we will be here this same time next week, continuing with sanctification, continuing our teaching on that, because we want to really continue to just dive into it so that people will have a clear understanding. And we pray that the word fell on good ground so that it can be a blessing and that the people's foundation will be sure, because without a good foundation, you can't build. You can't build a house without a good foundation. If not, then they have to repair it and do all of that. And some of us might be repairing some salvation, some foundations. But whatever it is, wherever place you're in, we pray that the word of God is reaching you today.
Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord God, for you have done so much for us, Lord God. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for this opportunity, this time that we have to share your word and to discuss the things that you have put in our hearts and our minds, oh Lord God, for the building of the kingdom and the body of Christ, God. God, we ask that everything that's been said and done according to your word, that we would all be good ground, O Lord God, and that the word would take root in us and produce fruit to be pleasant in thy sight, O Lord God. We pray, O Lord God, that anybody that needs healing or needs deliverance, O Lord God, that you do that for them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Anybody that's listening and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, fill them with your Holy Ghost and give them the strength and the mind to come on and find out more about you, O Lord God. Increase our hunger. And give us a spirit of wisdom, O Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. You are awesome, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, everybody, that is being a part of this broadcast today. Pastor Owens, do you have anything you would like to add or say? I just wanted to make sure I offered that.
I just want to say, praise the Lord, saints. I just want to say that it has been a blessing, and this is my first chance and opportunity to be on the blog with you all regarding sanctification, and I'm just elated just to be a part of such a powerful study, because you know what, saints, in the world that we live in today, this is something that needs to be taught and studied, because many people are walking for the blessing, but they don't know what it takes to get the blessing. And I just thank the Lord for the elders and the ministers on this blog today. I'm just glorifying God, just listening to it, because you know what? It's nothing like the old time way. And I give God the glory tonight for the opportunity to be a part of it. May the Lord bless you all, and I certainly look forward to being with you again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank the Lord. Well, I know it seems like our time just goes by so quickly, but I'm thankful for every minute that we spend and every minute in the Word of God. So I pray that all of you that were listening in, had called in, and those that were logged in, that you were blessed, even those that will listen to it in the archives, because we will promote it and put it out there for to know that it's available for you to listen in later. And we thank the Lord for each one of you, and we will see you all next week. We're going to continue this discussion on salvation in our foundational series. May the Lord bless each and every one of you, and I don't ever want to close without pleading the blood of Jesus over everybody that participated, everybody that was teaching today or had input in. I plead the blood of Jesus over your lives, and I plead the blood that you will have a blessed week, and God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even ask or think, and that you will be covered, be protected, and you will be strengthened. Hallelujah. In the world,
in your body, in your mind, that everything
you need, that God will supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we thank God for each and every one of you, and we pray that the blessings of the Lord be upon you as we go this week. God bless you and keep you, and may his shine upon you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
God bless you all.